Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Slammed and jammed as usual on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 18th and 19th. Full disclosure, we are in the studio actually Thursday because we're going to be away for the weekend into next week. A lot of stuff going on. And a happy new year to all in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. You know, when the season opens, indeed, calls for a new year celebration. South Zone and North Zone duck seasons open Saturday the 18th, and away we go. And just a reminder, Saturday the 18th, free fishing day. Okay, statewide, don't need a license or don't need a trout stamp. Experience the incredible freshwater fishing opportunities in New Jersey. Another reminder, too, antlered buck permits for the permit bow season must be purchased by November 1st. 11:59 p.m. is the deadline. When it's that late, you just go to njfishandwildlife.com, go to permit link, and you can pay for it, everything on air. Hey, another new year coming up this week. I should say next week, October 21st and 22nd, second part of the fall trout stocking schedule in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area. On October 21st, GM Petro Park Pond, 180. Hamilton Lake, 230. Mariama Lake, 210. The Morris River, 180. Crystal Lake, 230. Grenlock Lake, 180. And Oak Pond, right there by the Southern Region Office, 180. On Wednesday, October 22nd, Greenwich Lake, 190. Iona Lake, 220. I love Iona. Shadler Sandwich Pond, 160. And one of the most underrated South Jersey trout fishing lakes in the business is Swedesboro Lake, getting 220. Now, these are two-year-old rainbows averaging 14 to 16 inches, pattern three-quarters and bigger. And in the mix, there are breeders, two- and three-year-old spent breeders that are up to 6-7 pounds. You want to read about the October trout stock and go to the October issue with the Fisherman Magazine. Check out my article, Fall Stock Report. Really jam coming up, scenting the pre-rut and leading into the rut with Ron Jones. Grab that cup, grab that red, but we are jammed. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein, producer Nick Earnshaw, and former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Dave Klemek joined me in the studio. Can the Birds end the Philly sports malaise on Sunday? We'll talk Eagles football. The Flyers are 1-2-1 in the early going, and we'll take a closer look at the Flyers' play, plus clips from Tockett's Thursday night presser. Hour 2, we'll get our high school athletes in the spotlight with Fran McLaughlin, brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory of Egg Harbor Township. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon, 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Good morning. You're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m., 50,000 megafar reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. Download the 97.3 app to get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast. Go to Apple, YouTube, or Spotify, other platforms. Just key in Rack and Fin. They usually post it Saturday afternoon or sometime Sunday. So you get the, if you missed the show on Saturday, you can hear it and all its great information at your leisure. Well, see, middle of October, already starting to see some beginnings of a rutting activity. Found some scrapes, found plenty of rubs. And I just had a call the other night. A gentleman up there in Sussex County, which I said in the opening statement, full disclosure, we will be up there this weekend into next week, already had two small bucks butting heads. He was over there by way on the state park. So I guess the indications are there, but making sense of the rut, the pre-rut into the rut. I mean, it can be usually around first week in November. It starts seeing it happen a little earlier, seeing it happen a little later. And again, you have your secondary again. And some areas are tertiary ruts. But making sense of the rut as an S-C-E-N-T-S, putting a call to our great 22-year veteran of Rack and Fin Radio broadcasters, to Ron Jones, owner, president, Redneck Pride Outdoors, maker, manufacturer of scents, and he's incredible calls. Boy, his grunts, oh, man, they'll make you crazy. And his slate calls, or glass, and his, I can't even get into it. Well, Ron, thanks, man. I told you we spoke the other night. Indications are out there. Ruts is about to start scenting now, and guys are out there. Gals are out there. We're going to be out there this weekend, but a little farther north. What is turning these bucks on or turning them off? What do you think, bro?
just the time of year, and everything's falling into place. But the key is going to be your does. How quick they're coming in the season, or you know, if they're not coming into season. All the natural elements are in place to start. All right, it's just now we just got to wait for the does to come into their season and start to smell a little bit of heat. And then you'll see things starting to really kick up.
Now, Ron, the guy said when he saw these little bucks butting heads, that pretty much one more step is now when the rut will be underway. I mean, the bachelor bands are broken up, I guess. Bucks, although we did see a couple of weeks ago, saw a buck with a pair of does just hanging out. They weren't, you know, doing anything crazy. So they're coming in now. So are they older does? Are they starting to dribble first, or the younger, more fertile does? What's the dealio?
Yeah, that's what I've always been told by folks who raise deer, that you'll get some of those older does starting to come in, you know, mid-October, third week of October, start to come in. I'm not saying they're in, okay? I'm just saying they're starting to come in, and that's where, again, we can't put an absolute on wildlife. You know, everything's
right.
A bit different. But general, that's what we can talk about, generals. A couple of your older does may be starting to come in. One of the indications that I'm seeing now on cameras, though, is when you start to see the bigger does paying attention to your muck scrapes or your licking branches. That's more so than normal, and I'm starting to see, you know, them paying a little bit of attention to it. The little guys. Your button bucks, especially, they're going nuts right now.
I remember being 15 once.
your button buck is the 13, 14 year old kid in the mall. Okay,
yeah.
The boy. You know, your wise and your spikes and your bigger yearlings. They're like the 16, 17 year old kids, and then you know the older buck, he's just hanging back and waiting to see what's going on. So you want to see that. You want to see that small buck, that little buck activity really cranking up.
Right.
They're going to get excited on anything and everything. But again, I'm starting to see for the last 2 weeks, the button bucks have been just going nuts on scent, which means nothing at this point. But at some point, when you get those younger bucks really paying attention to your scrapes, and I love scrapes. I love mock scrapes. I love licking branches.
I was just going to say, Ronnie, you have been a proponent of mock scrapes for decades, at least as long as I've known you. But it's a lot more than just going out scratching out some air and throwing some scent on top and some on a branch of a. It is a science, Ron.
Oh, it's absolutely a science. You can, you know, it's just like bait pile. Everybody goes a bait pile, but if the bait pile is in the wrong spot, you get nothing.
Right.
It's that simple. But the mock scrapes and the licking branches are key to it. And what I will do mid September, guys say, "Wow, you're crazy!" No, sometime at the beginning of September, I'll start these mock scrapes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want is the dough to be interested in them. I don't care how interested. I just want them interested. I want the doe to walk up to that thing, and I want her to walk away. But the more times she walks up to it, and the more times she walks away, now I got smell there. I got real smell there. And that's why I start them early. Right now, the ones I start right now, you got to make sure they're on deer runs. They cannot be where you want the deer to be. They have got to be where the deer are going to be. And I prefer to be in areas where I know traditionally the bigger bucks have been in the past. So, you know, a lot of guys will tell me things about using scent, and it's only for non-hunters. And I said, no, actually, for scent to work consistently, you have to be a deer hunter. You have to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't take a spurt or spit and just put it wherever you want to. You got to know your deer. So you pick your spots where you know the big boys are at, and you just kick on them a little bit. Just piss them off just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not going to get up. They're not upset right now. They're just looking at these little boys and saying, get away from me. All right. But the more you get the doe that mock scrape and that licking branch. And the more you get those little dinks, those little Ys, those little spikes on that thing, all right? And in about another 2 weeks, it's just going to be too much for that big old boy to say, all right, enough's enough. All right, the dough. And again, the key is the dough. Now, the old mock scrape four, mock scrape stuff that we had, that was to call the dough and make her spend time there. Because the more she's there, the more the big old boy pays attention. The more she's there, the more the little boys pay attention. The more the little boys pay attention, the more pissed off the
big guy gets.
and that's the whole key to this. One of the things that I see guys making mistakes at right now is they find a scrape, and especially in the early part of the season, it's a little scrape, you know, 12, 15 inches in diameter, mm-hmm. or whatever, and it's not dug up hard. And they go and they put a scent, whoever scent, they put it right on that scent. Well, then they say to me, the deer stopped using it. Yeah, it's because he's a subdominant deer. He's a, you know, he's feeling his oaks. He's got a mouth, but he's mouthing off for 5 feet, you know. It's just okay. Like two guys fighting or arguing. Notice the one guy ain't getting any closer.
Right.
It's the same thing as the deer. When you come in and you put in a mock scrape stuff or come into that scrape, he's kind of timid and he'll back off. So what I'll do is if I find especially if I saw a small scrape, I'll go 10 yards or 15 yards upwind and I'll put in a mock scrape. And I may, if I really want to press it, I may go about 10, 15 yards on the trail. You're on that trail.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key, on that trail, okay? I may go on the other side and put another scrape in. And then what you'll see on your better bucks, they're still stub dominant, you'll see them working their scrape a little harder, all right? If you see your scrape is taken over, then you're in the ball game. Yeah, that you got a dominant buck in there. But, you know, most people don't realize the biggest boy on the block doesn't necessarily mean he's the dominant.
I was just going to ask you that, Ron. I've seen that. Yep. I've seen instances of that over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the body. It's the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you take a 2 or 3 year old spike. He's probably the boy that's kicking butt, because he's got the heart, but he's also got those spikes there that can get in between the antlers. He can do more damage than somebody with a big rack. Now, I'm not saying that the big rack won't be dominant. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you can't go by size. You have to go by heart. And your little bucks, you want to keep him there. So don't put stuff on that scrape that you already see.
Okay. Ron, we're up against a hard break. You got to hang in the next segment. Ron Jones, he is president, owner, Rednecks Pride Outdoors, manufacturer of calls and scents. Topic is, okay, rut is still a week or two, maybe a little bit longer away, but making sense of what's happening now and using it to your advantage when it blows wide open. Ron, it always seems to coincide with the omitting of the permit bow season. You ever notice that? Boy, those guys, when they were thinking about making money on permits, they knew what they were doing. People, grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be right back with Ron Jones. Oh, tis the season.
Eagles football on 97.3 ESPN. Tomorrow, as the Eagles travel to face the Minnesota Vikings.
He's going for Barkley, and it is caught by Barkley down the far sideline, and he is in for the touchdown.
Excellent play call. And Jalen Hurts drops a dime right into Barkley's lap.
Pre-game coverage begins at noon. Merrill and Mike call all the action starting at 1 p.m. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. This is the weekend of October 18th and 19th, just a little bit past the middle of the harvest month. November is glorious as well. Hey, look at it. My age, my feet hit the hardwood in the morning. It's a good day. It's a great day when hunting and fishing are going on. We're speaking with Ron Jones. He is owner and president of Rednecks Pride outdoors. Okay, we're talking scenting the pre into the rut period. So, Ron, I know you've been always a proponent. I call you the Pope of mock scrapedom, okay? Now, the lovely Deemer and I are going to be hunting a patch. I'd say it's around 40, private patch, 40, 45 acres, 30, somewhere in there. Saw a couple of trails going on. Working scrapes there, making mock scrapes. I mean, is it possible someone can, saying this for my benefit because I get all fired up, overdoing it? Like a buck will say, yeah. Oh, what's this here, man? And then vamoose, that is too many here, or something isn't right here. What's the deal?
Yeah, it's way too many. I mean, you can really blow it out. My mindset is one, maybe two scrapes, and that's it. And what I want to do is I want to find the spots where those little guys are already rubbing up and where the doe are at. Okay, that's the key. You've got to be where the doe are at. And typically, you'll find those little scrapes, little guy scrapes where the does are at. So find your does. Go in, find your one little scrape or so. This time of year we're talking about. We're not talking about establishing. We're talking about right. You're already into it. Find where you're where you find your rub lines. All right, you're going to find your rubs. You're going to find your little scrape, one or two little scrapes, and then you go upwind of that, and you go, and if you want to put another one, go downwind of that, and leave it alone. Now, when I say leave it alone, I'm saying don't do any more. Go in and check things if you want to. What I want is I want the deer to do my job. And that's the key.
Good point.
I'm not making the deer do anything. I want the deer to do my job. So by me challenging that little guy, all right, now the little guy puts it into high gear because he's the little Benny Rooster, okay? And the more he puts it into the more he becomes a little Benny Rooster, then the more the does pay attention to him, even though they're not ready. They're not going to be ready, all right? They don't even want him, but they're curious of him. It's like the older lady looking at the younger, good-looking guy. He's cute, talkative. It's the same thing. Once you get the young bucks fired up, once you get the does hitting those mock scrapes and his scrapes, just smelling it, now you're starting to work on the big boy. Okay, he's going to become unedged at some point, usually around Halloween. And it's enough's enough, he says.
All right?
And that's your key. Now, here's another little trick I do. There's two other little tricks I want to do. A lot of times I go to these rubs, and I'll find a nice little rub where they're rubbing it, and then I'll take TC4 and put it above that rub on the right on the tree.
A TC4. What's
the TC4? It's the same thing as TC plus, only not the real doe urine. So it's the exact same product that we have with that everybody's still screaming for, TC plus, but it doesn't have the deer urine or the deer glands in it.
By law, synthetic,
Yeah, by law, I got to do a synthetic. So I put a little TC4 on that rub because I want him rubbing that more, because a lot of people don't realize that also. The more he rubs, the more scent is on that tree, the more scent that's on that tree, the more the big boy's saying, all right, this guy's starting to become a pain here. Another thing I do is I drag. I am a proponent more than mock scrapes. I am a dragger.
John, Ronnie, I was just gonna mention that to you because you're in there. Cover scent, obviously. Ronnie's always, and it's true. You can never hide human scent. You just can't. You just can't. But Ron, a cover scent. I know you've been a proponent, a fan, if you will, of dragging as more of an attractant or as a mask. What is it?
Well, I learned dragging because I was masking my scent coming in, but I learned that those deer was following my scent. I used to put it on my boots. Don't put it on your boots. Good gosh, almighty, do not put it on your boots. Learned that the hard way. Some exciting times can happen. Okay. But I use a drag now because I found that the deer would follow my line. And that's where I came in with the J-hook. You remember 20 years ago or 30 years ago, whatever it was, I came up with that J-hook because the deer was following me and because I was using a natural cover scent type thing.
Mm-hmm.
what we do now is we drag in on purpose. And if you think about it, what is the number one, especially in the early season, what is the number one method that Buck uses to find the doe that's ready? He has his scrapes out.
Mm-hmm.
He goes downwind of his scrapes by 20, 30 yards, 10 yards, whatever it is that Buck is feeling, okay? And he's air checking each scent. He comes up, gets downwind of that scrape. He throws his nose in the air, and he smells if there's a doe and heat has been on his scrape. A doe and heat came into a scrape. She urinated on a scrape. That's, by the way, you want right now, you want to see your does urinating on your muck scrapes. That's what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to see that, that's telling you the does are starting to come into season. He scent checks her. Now he goes to a scrape, and he picks her up off his scrape, and what's he do? He hound dogs. All right, so I call hound dogging.
Mm-hmm.
He puts his nose to the ground, and there he goes. He's trailing her. That is the number one. And as he's trailing, what I've noticed is watching bucks go across trailing does, they start off slow, but just like that hound dog, as they're getting into it and they're getting closer and closer and her smell and her odor is picking up and he's getting anticipating, yeah, baby, here it come.
Right.
He picks up his pace. Why do I want him to pick up his pace? He's less observant.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we use a leather drag nail. I don't use cotton. Do not use cotton. Why? Because it dries out quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then you naturally get a backtrack. Don't put it on your rubber boots either, because you get a backtrack. Why? Because as you're walking, as you're dragging with a cotton drag, it is drying out, which means the scent is getting less and less and less.
Dissipating, yeah.
Where leather or even those felt hangers, when you drag with them,
mm-hmm.
it's still wet, so you're laying down a continuous line, just like the real thing, like real deal. All right. And then as he's trailing her more and more and more, so when you get his nose on the ground, his eyes are fixed low, number key, and his eyes are fixed ahead of him. So when you're dragging in, I drag to the areas of my scrape. And I do that a lot before the season or during the season.
Right.
I don't go into the woods now without dragging. Because our longest drag documented was 300 yards. We literally watched the buck trail for 300 yards.
Okay, Ron, 300 yards. Not on to me, man. He was on a mission. Okay, Ron, listen, we're up against a hard break here. Now, as a pre-rut into the rut, in the Rednecks Pride Outdoors roster, key scents now and the graduation part from one to another to another. Give us your top three.
I'm going to go with my Muck Scrape 5, get it started. I'm going to start that in September or now. Okay, get the deer on it. When I go into really hunt, I'm going to drag TC4 from my starting point and going across as many deer runs as I possibly can without screwing the mess up. You mm-hmm. understand what I'm saying there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be stupid. All right.
He said that for my benefit, people. All these years. Tom P., you're not a quick study, I'll tell you that.
I always tell people, hunt in and hunt out, okay? Don't just walk your stand. But anyway, drag in, and on your J-hook, absolute. I'm going to come in on my flank, my left flank or my right flank. Don't come in downwind. Please don't come in downwind. When you come in downwind, they end up behind your tree and looking up at you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Drag in 10, 15, 20 yards on my left flank or my right flank. I go out to about, if 12 o'clock is directly upwind where I'm looking, on the 2 o'clock and the 10 o'clock, I'm going to put old timer,
okay.
DUF. And that the reason that is I'm going to put it at about 4 to 6 feet. On that, I will use cotton or something white. Okay, because when that buck is coming in and he's trailing, and he's, remember I told you his eyes are low.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to see that white flicker, that other color flicker ahead of him, and I want his concentration on that. He's smelling. He picks up the deer stuff, the old timer smell. He's now looking, not looking to his left or his right. He's not going to see me move and trying to get my my bow back and on him.
Okay, Ronnie Jones, thank you much for that information. Listeners, again, if you miss it, go to the podcast, Doing the Sense. Go to Rednecks, Pride Outdoors. Stuff is there. Scenting the rut, pre-rut into that. It's a make or break. It can bring that buck right to you. Ron, now, as we know, listen, as I said, we are in the studio early. It is Thursday. And Saturday, as I mentioned in the opening, is indeed a happy new year with the opening of the South Zone duck season. And Jonesy is a wood duck fanatic. So, Jonesy, do I figure a limit of woodies for you and Jennings come Saturday by 7 o'clock?
Well, we're going to be shooting at a limit of woodies. I don't know if we're going to have a limit of woodies, but we will definitely. You know me, if it's duck hunting, I'm heading there.
Well, Jonesy, listen, when you, because Deemer just says, you call him, I'm not. When you'll hear from me probably in a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, how I mess it up yet again with the sense. And maybe you can come over and just give me a little tutorial. That would work.
I'll talk to Denise.
You're killing me. Okay, Jonesy, you take care. Best to Don and the family. Good luck Saturday. Right, good luck Saturday with the Woodies.
All right. Take it easy.
Ron Jones, what a guy. Just known him for all these years. One of the most self-effacing, just a good guy. And he says, Tom P., I'm not a big buck. I'm a buck hunter, not a big buck. It doesn't matter. I'm a hunter. The whole woodsmanship thing with this guy is unbelievable. Him and, I tell you, he's just amazing. Him and the guy, Newt Sterling, unbelievable. Okay, grab that cup. I'll grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
This Saturday afternoon, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, it's not just a potential SEC championship matchup. This game has national championship hopes on the line. Lane Kiffin's fifth-ranked Ole Miss Rebels head to the Hedges in Athens to take on Kirby Smart's ninth-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Join Brett Dolan and the 1992 Heisman Trophy winner Gino Toretta. It's Georgia hosting Ole Miss.
It's College Football Saturday on 97.3 ESPN. Brought to you by
First Bank of Aisle.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go, the gap below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. This is the weekend of October 18th and 19th. Again, I have to keep hammering on it. Full disclosure, we're in the studio Thursday because we're going to be away for the weekend. See, we got Nord Zone, though. We got squirrels. We got deer. We got trout. It's going to be absolutely crazy. Well, tog season's rapidly approaching. November 16th. Sea bass, we had that brutal northeaster and some other, it's settling down. More and more boats are out there, especially on the weekends. The trolling motor phenomenon in saltwater has been nothing short of, well, phenomenal. How's that for being clever? We've seen some bad behavior out there. Stuff that, what am I seeing? And I turn to Captain, are you seeing that? Turn to Dean Marie, you see that? Yeah, we see that. What is it? Trolling motor etiquette. In other words, don't be a J.O. butthole on the water. You're on a piece of cover. What is it about some people with this, that this electric motor technique? Not all, but more than a few. So I put in a call to Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing out of Weartown. Captain Brett, pro staffer, Pure Fishing St. Croix at Infinitum. 15 years. So he has seen some stuff out there. I said, Captain Brett, what is going on? Brett, and you related a story about when you were fluking. And I was absolutely, my jaw dropped. I said, is it becoming more pervasive, more prevalent out there? What is going on with this? Trolling motor spot lock, look out. It's a whole different breed of maniac.
Yeah, it's I'll tell you what, more and more boats, you look and it's almost like every boat has them now. And I think a lot of, I think it's ignorance for some of them. I think it's just, they don't know the rules or they don't know the etiquette. And then some are just, as you said, not nice.
Yeah.
But it's become more prevalent. And especially now, we're getting into, we just got done. Well, we're getting through sea bass and then tog will be opening up and that's a whole other thing.
That's when it gets right. I could imagine it gets really fired up. But, Bray, again, I appreciate the technology. I've been using it for years in Freshwood, a trolling motor technology. Gangbusters really changed the game. Between that and Spot Lock now, you're wondering, change the game to where people get on a spot and that's it. They claim it is theirs. What's that all about? I mean, it's your spot. I don't know, Brett. And then it gets really testy when you're in the area. First, they come, what are you doing on my spot? I actually heard that in salt water, Brett.
Yeah, that's what, you know what?
What is that, Brett?
No one owns anything, right? It's the ocean. So no one owns anything out there. But there is a level of etiquette and, I guess, respect that, you know, when we're going out, if I see someone on a piece, I'll motor past them. Usually you can know, like, if you're pretty good with your charts and you have your spots, I can see the distance. Okay, I see a boat there, a mile away. I know that someone's on that piece. I'm not even going to approach it. Now, the difference is, if it's a big piece where you can get, some of these wrecks, you can get three boats on there.
Sure.
The right thing to do is to motor up slow, have a conversation with the guy. Hey, do you mind if I work the north piece of this? Would you mind? Now, if they say, hey, no, I'm going to work this whole thing. Okay, no problem. I'll move on. And I've had that with Fluke in this past season. I had a guy, we were hitting a little piece and the gentleman, it was him and his buddy came up, they had a troll motor. They said, hey, do you mind if we work? I said, yeah. I said, the only thing is just, I said, I'm drifting here. He said, no, we'll work around you. I said, okay, no problem. And that's how it works, right?
Right.
You're not, now, if I see guys that have the hooks out, if they have two anchors out, I'm not even getting near them because I know, first of all, it's a pain to anchor with two anchors, right?
Oh, yeah, double anchor. That's beyond an art form, Taylor.
Yes, and those guys, listen, the utmost respect. There's excellent guys that do it. Fishmonger Jerry, Captain Greg Carr out of Barnegat Light. He does it. Sammy, they're all – they're going to work a piece. I'm not even going to approach that because they have to adjust. They're going to work that whole piece. They took their time to put those hooks out. You bypass. There's a ton of wrecks out there. But it's amazing that you get guys that you see it and they come in and they just have, they don't even talk. They don't even, there's no conversation. They'll just spot lock right next to the guy. And it's like, well, now you're being a,
So Brett, that's where Brett, like not much more than a rod length away.
Correct. And we had it, not to get, I did write about this in the thing, but in so many words, I was drifting a Fluke spot and this gentleman saw us hitting Fluke and I was doing the same drift and he comes over and I actually asked him, I said, hey, you can come, do our drift with us. Go ahead. And I asked him, like, are you going to spot lock it? He said, well, I can fish any way I want. And he ends up spot locking in the middle of where we're drifting.
Yep. And you call him a gentleman, Taylor? You got to check the dictionary, bro.
Well, he had a ton of words for me because I just kept drifting my same area. And mm-hmm. then finally, he went away. And he called me unprofessional and everything else. But I'm like, yo, man, like we were in this area. And then you come in and literally you anchor up right where we're drifting. Like that's a major no-no. Now, if he would have came up and said, hey, listen, can I just do your drift? Yeah, man, do your drift. Who cares? I don't own this piece. Like, it's fine. But it's mm-hmm. just amazing that the level of, It gives it a whole other thing. If they had to throw anchors out, they wouldn't be doing that, right?
Right.
Because it's so easy with it, And I get the whole, there's a lot of resist for the old timers that are like, they resent it. But unfortunately, the technology is, it's only going to get better. They're only coming out with stronger motors for bigger boats. So I think we just have to accept it and get with the times that, hey, but we have to be respectful on the water. That's the big thing, respect.
Captain Taylor, speaking of Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction, Sport Fishing out of Weirton, 15-year veteran, pro staffer, writer, Fisherman Magazine, a bunch of other ones. Brett, when do you sleep? When do you sleep, Taylor? In between? You're just teaching school.
I got a report for the on the water. Then I'm taking, I run a fishing club at the high school. I'm taking them out today. We're fishing Point Pleasant Canal. I don't know.
Brett, go to that access point. Had an article in the Fisherman Hotspot a month or two ago. Loaded, not so much for Fluke, loaded for Togg right there. You got the parking and everything. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The Point Pleasant access. It is. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. But right now, Cap, when have you noticed? Well, I won't keep you much longer. We're already, Taylor, I need a 5-hour show, 5 days a week. Okay, here's the deal here. But when did you notice the subtle change? Okay, technology progressing, that the rudeness, I mean, we've all been rude on occasion. It happens. But the rudeness factor, it's growing, it seems, exponentially. I'm seeing that even on the jetties. Like, you're kidding, a guy come right next to you. What are you doing? You got 100 yards here, bud. Yeah, but you're catching fish. And you say, whoa. When did you notice this, Brett? Past year, 2 years, what?
Yeah, I would think last 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's since, you know, COVID or whenever, like that, whenever that happened. Like, it's just, it's like a me mentality now. It's like everybody's in it, and there's no, like, you know, it just like you said, if I'm fishing a bridge or something, I'm not going to go right next to the person. I might go up and talk to them, but I'm not going to go fish right next to them. And a lot of times you start with conversation, and I've been with bridge fishing before with salt plastics, and go up and start talking to the guy, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Hey man, why don't you throw your line and fish?" So like, that's where it starts. You got to, and then on the water, same thing. Again, you motor up. Now, if the person says, no, I'm working, like, stay away, okay, like, it's better not to have a major confrontation on the water. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, it's the big thing is, like, you know, if you're in, if you know a piece is pretty big, I'll say, yeah, go ahead, you can work whatever you want, and it's fine. But, again, you're out there, no one owns anything. It's the ocean, right? No one owns anything. So, but it's just a level of respect that, hey, they were here. And I think the Coast Guard kind of says it, like, you know, if someone has an established drift or established a anchor position, then it's like, it's a unwritten rule. Like, that's okay. That's their little territory right there, that you don't just come in right next to them. Now, again, you can come in, talk to them. And that's where it starts, but it definitely starts with, you know, at least having a conversation out there.
Okay, Captain Brett Taylor, well said. And I guess you are booked through 2027 from what I hear.
Oh, it's crazy, man. So we're full throttle for this year. We're totally booked. And then next year we already have bookings for 2026. I have a lot of repeat guys. It's, you know, and they, you know, at the end of the season, okay, we want 6 dates. We want 2 here, 2 there. Okay, like, you know, just trying to keep the calendar. Calendar gets crazy.
The young guns soccer and whatever, and the older sons going to the Oriole training. Did I hear you got invited to the Oriole training? No, I'm sorry, right there. But Cap Brent, thanks for joining us. And again, listen, as Captain Brett says, the ocean is there. The wreck. Just use some etiquette. There's a lot of places to go, and there's no need to be aggressive. You can be, because someone's gonna, you just wait for, like, there was that one video I saw where a guy actually hopped on another guy's boat. I don't know who sent me. Was it Scott McGahee or you? Somebody sent me that about a year. I said, Pete, it was down in Florida. Well, Florida's great. But wow, Brett, that can get ugly real fast.
Yeah, and you're out there to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's fishing. You're not a commercial fisher. It's not your livelihood. It's fishing per se. Like, you're out there having fun. Now, charter guys, yes, we're out there to take people out and give them a good time. But again, it's for the experience. You don't want to have a negative experience where, you know, you're out in there getting in a fight on the water. It's not worth it.
Brett, let me squeeze this by real fast. I don't have to go. When something like that happens, is a client ever, I know that doesn't happen to you much, but in that instance, did the client look at you and say, what's going on? Like, hey.
The one this past summer, they're like, I can't believe that guy just did that. He literally, where we netted 3 fluke that were nice, you know, nice size. He didn't see the size, but they didn't go back in the water. He literally spot locked in that exact point where I netted the fish. So it's like, come on, man. Like, and they're just like, I can't believe that. And then they're like, then he got mad at, they couldn't believe that he got mad at me. They're like, we got mad at you. So I said, hey,
listen, if you saw Captain Brett, you wouldn't want a left jab or a right cross. Trust me on that one. Well, Captain Brett, have a great and safe remainder of sea bass season, and kick ass on the Togg, okay?
All right. Hey, Same thing to you, Tom.
Take care, Brett. See you. Oh, by the way, Taylor, just to say, man, there are a lot of trout in that Tom's River now, boy. Some biggins.
Nice.
Catch you later, bro.
All right, later.
Captain Brett Taylor, always a great guest. Again, don't be an a-hole butthole. It's fishing, man. Sometimes it gets crazy, and you don't know. As my cousin Frank says, special forces or whatever, you don't know who is messing with. Avoid it and leave it to be. You're out there to have fun. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Tomorrow on Compass Media Network's coverage of the NFL, it's a rivalry renewed as the Dallas Cowboys host the Washington Commanders. Hi, this is Ted Emmerich. Join Steve Berline and me for all the action as these NFC East foes battle it out. Can the Cowboys bounce back, or will the Commanders earn a tough victory on the road? Cowboys, Commanders, if it's the NFL, it's right here.
It's NFL Sunday on 97.3 ESPN. Coverage begins after Eagles football. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
All right, wrapping up my Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. This is the weekend of October 18th and 19th. Again, one last time, full disclosure, we're actually in the studio on a Thursday, the 16th. And then the Happy New Year Saturday, South Zone, North Zone, duck season opens. There's stock and dry, squirrel season's going on, bow season, deer's going on. The rut's just starting to, percolate a little bit in those bucks nuts. So, hey, they're getting active. Great time to be afield. Things have settled down, too, on the saltwater front. Out front's still a little gnarly. Get in the back bays. Now, big blow up of bass up there if you want to go all the way up to Raritan Bay. Plenty of bass in the back down here. Light tackle stuff. A lot of fun. I know it's only the middle of October, but guess what, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen? Already start thinking about the new year, specifically the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. First show of its kind. It's going to be January 9th, 10th, and 11th like last year. Jerry Vessels, who's patiently waiting on a lot right now, had to go to 3 days. I want to get an update on the show because mark your calendar. It's going to be a great time. Rain, shine, snow, sleet, whatever, at a beautiful facility, the Wildwood Convention Center. Hey, Vessels, man, you're firing on all cylinders. Do you even have any spots left for vendors? Are you sold out? Pretty close. And what's this, your eighth? I can't keep track of this guy, his shows. This is your seventh or eighth annual? What's the dealio?
Good morning, Tommy P. Yeah, this is our eighth annual show.
Woo!
We did lose a couple with the we'll call it the virus, but we're back on track and we're loaded and ready to go. I do have very limited space left, which is a testament to my vendors that keep coming back for more year after year. And we're ready to go, Tom.
Let me interrupt you for a second. The thing I noticed the past 2 years, especially, maybe I was just the timing when I was at the expo, I saw people, I guess they were signing, getting ready. They'll do a sea trial a little later. So people signing on the dotted lines, everything from those badass aluminum boats and some pontoon boats and a couple of Key West. I mean, people were buying vessels.
How's it going? Right? How can we go wrong with a boat show named with the guy Vessels?
They were pulling a trigger, pun.
But Tom,
intended.
That's a great observation. We sell boats. I mean, and a lot of people were nervous because it was before the big shows and, hey, you're only a small show and we'll do this. And even my dealers were a little apprehensive when we moved to January. But I'll tell you, we blasted out of the gate back after in 2022 when we were allowed to open the doors again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been full speed ahead. No pun intended there. But it's been great. And the dealers are all very satisfied. The dealers actually asked me to go to 3 days. I mean, that's how satisfied with things that they are. They're saying, hey, we're moving product. So the more show hours we get, the better off we are. And it also helps out all my other vendors. I mean, it's a nice day. Friday is a little bit light on the traffic where you can get to spend more time one-on-one with the vendors. And we really like to preach that kind of environment here where it's a family friendly. You're not just a number.
Yep.
We like to see the same faces year after year and leave them with smiles and bags of goodies.
Well, listen, going to a third day is no like, oh, yeah, so going to a third day. You have to pay the piper. You have to pay the convention center. So for the vendors, dealers to do that, urge for a third day, and Jerry going into it, it's people are doing well all across the board. And listen, let me tell you just one thing. Listen, when you get, he has a hall, you walk in the hall going all the way down to the convention center floor. I call it the hall of going broke. Mary mother, a guy must have spent $250 before I even made it to the door, Vess. And I say, well, I'll get you on the way back. Then I'm thinking, I want that. And there's so many, I was like shoulder to shoulder, like sardines in a can thing. I said, nah, that thing might be gone by the time I get back. Because you know me in the show, you're running around yapping, napping, eating a hot dog, having a beer and a whole bit. So I walked in, I already had two bags full of stuff.
I like to call the hallway the gauntlet of vendors. And you make it through the gauntlet and you make it into the main arena, which then we have our boats on display, which again, we're going to have 13 boat dealers and
13.
Whatever that translates into boats, we're going to have upwards of 80 boats with some jet skis, trailers, everything else. And then we have another 60 vendor booths inside. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're crushing it, Tom, and we have everything covered from A to Z, accessories, services, outboards. It just is, everything is there. And like you said, everything from a duck boat to flat bottom metal boats mm-hmm. up to 30 foot center consoles. Ranger Tugs is going to be back again. We're squared away, man.
On the line with us is Jerry Vessels. He is the owner promoter. It's going to be the 8th annual Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo, January 9th, 10th, 11th. Reason I'm saying it now, getting it now, we're going to give updates because we're pretty soon can't give any more updates. It's going to be sold out. But listen, this is the premier show, winter for, you know, you want to get out. This is the show to go to, and it's a great time. And Vessels, one thing I know, it's very family-oriented. A lot of youngsters, teenagers there. And I saw a lot of kids walking around with rods, and I mean, they're buying. Where do kids get this money? I don't know. But and they weren't buying the 1999 Cabos either, Jerry. I says, whoa, I'm missing something. And very impressive, Jerry. You have a full slate of seminars that cover, listen, from top to bottom, Back Bay to offshore. You have a coverage, Jer.
Yes, and that's something we're really going to push this year is the seminars. And I've got some big names lined up that will be making announcements. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag yet, but it's going to be good. And, again, you covered it. We're going Back Bay to offshore and everything in between. So,
and the seminars are free.
The seminars are free
with the price of admission.
Long.
Yep.
Yes. And again, like we include the great fishing seminars, but some other stuff because safety is my life. You know, we have a great with our friends at Maritime Rescue Associates.
That was packed Vessel. That was packed. That was full.
They're doing fantastic, and again, like these guys are top notch. Going to do a great seminar again on boater safety and what is really important in your first aid kit. You know, because if you're like me, my Band-Aids are all brown, and you know my peroxide's about 6 years out of date. But this stuff is important.
Jerry, if I could make one, listen, this is a fishing and boating expo. There are some ancillary exhibitors there, which all get tied in. But, Jerry, can I make one suggestion?
Absolutely.
The one booth there, the lady, the nice Italian lady, with the baked goods. Jerry, have her please put a sign up, like, or have a medic or something. Listen, I made it high. Give me one of those. Yeah, I'll take one of those. She said, you sure? Yeah. Come on, lady. Give me two of those. I made it homeless. My face was the color fluorescent red of a fire engine or a candy apple. Then he says, what did you do? I said, what about, I guess the chocolate around my nose and on my hair on my face.
You're probably trying to innocent. Like, I wasn't me.
The lady said, take care, fellow. I left.
Yeah. Here, you need a chest to carry all this stuff. The bag's not going to do it.
Listen, it's a great time. Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo coming up in January. The Tompy Rack and Fin and writing schedule, it's already the second week in November. It gets here fast.
I know.
And it's a great way after
90 days.
After Christmas, after New Year's, boom, let's get the season going. You can't kick it off any better than the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Well, Jerry, take care. For more information on the expo, is anything posted yet?
I have the website is up to date. I just don't have the seminars announced on there. And the website is fishingexpowildwood.com. And you can get all your information there, showtimes, prices, free parking, free Yeti giveaway. Once again, we're giving away three Yetis, one for each day of the event. What else is going on? And also, if you...
You're giving away how many Yetis?
Three. One, two, three. Like, you know, the count.
These
one,
are these
two,
are
three.
These are the $300-plus coolers.
Yeah, the Yeti 65s, which are beautiful assets to anything, whether you put them on the boat or the yard or whatever, you just want to sit and look at it. They're a beautiful cooler, and they do work.
Okay, listen.
They hold ice for a long time, which is fantastic.
Jerry, we have to sign off here. Listen, you heard it here first. Tom P., Rack and Fin Red, I figure the year 2033 to 36, somewhere in there. Abigail Vessels, Attorney General of the United States. No one here gets out alive.
No, Abby deals swift punishment that is not always fair. That's Abby's MO. So,
Jerry, one more time with that website, please.
It is fishingexpowildwood.com.
Okay, Jerry, we'll see you soon, man. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. Have a great day, brother, man.
You too. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Sorry, Chris Coleman, long in that final segment. I know that's against the rules, but you are the man. You are the one. You are the guy. You are the producer extraordinaire. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Look out, ducks. Look out, trout. Look out, bears. Look out, deer. Look out, wood ducks. Tompy and DeMarie out on the road. See you next week. God bless Rack and Fin Radio. Jack for governor.